Yes, welcome back to the show here on Tuesday, the 12th of September. Wow, I'm all over the place today, I tell you. I've got that Champions League adrenaline inside me right now, and I'm delighted to get away from it for just a moment and chat a little bit of South American football, specifically south of the border from Rafa's, south of Rafa's Way, down to Mexico with Mr. Tom Marshall, the man that runs the Mexican Soccer Podcast here on World Football Daily. Tom, how are you doing, my man?
Can't complain. The weather's nice, you know, and there's a couple of days of Champions League football on, so, you know, and Copa Libertadores as well. You can't forget that. So, all good.
You how much is the Champions League, European Champions League, followed in Mexico? Because in Europe, you don't get so much of the kind of Copa Lib coverage.
No, yeah, obviously the Champions League, you know, it's absolutely massive when, you know, Barcelona, United, Manchester United, Real Madrid, you know, when the big teams are involved. I don't know, like traditionally, just throwing it out there, but, you know, Real Madrid, Hugo Sanchez played, you know, absolute legend for them. So, you know, you'll find in Mexico a lot of Real fans. Then obviously Barcelona, you had Rafa Márquez, who played for them for a good number of years. And so, you know, you get a lot of Barca fans as well. And now with Chicharito, you know, obviously there's a lot of Manchester United fans sprung up.
Oh, how very convenient. United fans spring up everywhere, I tell you. And it's for some of us, it's not that pleasurable. In general, though, I mean, when an English player goes abroad or when an American player goes abroad, there is a mass following of Roma have obviously become very, very well followed in the US. So it is the same in Mexico then, even though, you know, the strength and popularity of the Mexican domestic league itself.
Yeah, I mean, when a player, you know, reaches that level, it's like almost like you know, it gives Mexican football fans, you know, a lot of pride to see that their players, you know what I mean, on what is the biggest stage. I would say that when they leave from the bigger clubs, there is even more intense focus. So you get like Memo Ochoa in Ajaccio over there in France, and he gets a lot of attention. He's always in the newspapers, on the, you know, front page of the sports websites. And then maybe someone like Andres Guardado, who came out of Atlas, you know, a smaller club. He's playing for Valencia today, obviously in a massive game against PSG. And, you know, he's there and stuff, but it's the interest isn't quite as much as, you know, as Ochoa and definitely Chicharito.
So Mexican football, they do consider their own league to still be lesser compared to the big European leagues in UEFA then?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, it's a difficult one, you know, judging leagues and stuff like that. I mean, if you look at someone like Jackson Martinez, who left Jaguares and went over to Porto, he's just been absolutely amazing over there in Portugal. And I don't know, I think that's a good sign of, you know, the level of the Mexican league is at, because Jackson Martinez, when he played in Mexico, you know, he was a very, very good striker, but there was a couple that, you know, were maybe at his level. So I think that's a, you know, good sign for Mexican football, but definitely in terms of the perception, it's all about going to Europe still.
Now, you mentioned Andres Guardado there. He is in action tonight in the Champions League for Valencia. He was in action as well for Mexico against Jamaica in that hexagonal round draw. One of many poor performances. What did you make of that Mexico side? What didn't they do against Jamaica?
No, I mean, it was, you know, it's hard to put, you know, to kind of exaggerate how disappointing this result was. I mean, it was supposed to be kind of the, you know, the reaffirmation that Mexico is the king of the CONCACAF, you know, playing in the Azteca, you know, 100,000 plus stadium, you know, against what many people consider the worst team in the hexagonal. And then they get a 0-0 draw. And I think the worst thing about it is that Jamaica could have easily won that game. Jamaica had 2-3 really clear-cut chances. You know, another problem for Mexico was it wasn't just that, like, you know, the strikers couldn't put the ball in the net or the midfield wasn't providing. It was also defensively as well. You know, like I just said, Jamaica opened Mexico up, and it's extremely worrying. And, you know, on the positive side, if there is a positive side, then it may be a real wake-up call, because obviously there's this kind of current of opinion in Mexico now that, you know, that Mexico can go further in a World Cup than you know, the round of 16. But, you know, this is a real wake-up game. If you can't do it, you know, at altitude in Mexico City against Jamaica, then you're not gonna do so well in the Confederations Cup, for example.
You say a wake-up call. I mean, a number of followers and critics of Mexican football have said that, that they adapted their game after that loss in the Azteca to the US, and their style of football changed slightly. Now, do you think that change, do you think that has been as apparent as people think it has? And do you think it's had a negative or a positive impact overall on Mexico's game?
Well, I think what happened with that game in the Azteca, obviously it was a historic victory for the US back in August, but Mexico absolutely dominated the game. You know, it's absolutely battered the US. I mean, there was no debate about that from US fans. But the US got the goal in the last 10 minutes on the counter-attack. And I think that really changed Chepo de la Torre's mind about he wanted to try and get a plan B, or it seemed like he wanted to try and get a plan B. And that was playing with two strikers. Now, ever since then, I think Mexico scored one goal in the first half since then. It's not worked. You know, they're playing Chicharito and Oribe Peralta mainly as the two strikers. And I don't know, it just doesn't seem to have the fluidity and the flexibility of that I think suits Mexico's players. So, you know, we'll see how... It almost seems like he's being stubborn at the minute and he's going to stick with this two-striker formation. But I think most people would prefer kind of Chicharito on his own up front with kind of like, you know, two wingers and a number 10 behind him.
And you talk about those players playing behind Chicharito there. And Giovanni Dos Santos was, you know, a very positive influence on that Mexico-Jamaica game at one point, and then was brought off right when Mexico really needed that attacking flair going forward. Not many happy fans about that decision. Why do you think that was made?
That was a strange one. I mean, just watching, you know, the manager really wasn't happy with him. I mean, and he was shouting at him, telling him to move inside. But I mean, when you look to the formation, it was like Dos Santos was playing on the right wing. And it was like the manager was telling him to go inside, or I don't know, but it seemed like at times he was just floating absolutely nowhere. He wasn't playing either behind the strikers or he wasn't playing on the right. He was kind of in between. And, you know, I felt a bit sorry for him because he kind of got a bit lost, like position-wise and like tactically. And I don't think it was completely his fault.
What's been said in the press about that game, that draw to Jamaica? Because we do have to give Jamaica a lot of credit as well. Their back four and their goalkeeper, Donovan Ricketts, you know, played exceptionally well against a high-powered Mexican offense.
No, yeah, I mean, the press, you know, it's a big blow. I mean, to the pride as well, more than anything. Like I said, you know, Mexico is just supposed to absolutely roll over Jamaica. But Jamaica, I mean, and I think I said this before the game, I mean, they've got the team is made up of players from, you know, mid-ranking European leagues, you know, tough professional players that, you know, they know what they're doing. These aren't kind of players who haven't got experience. They don't know what they're doing. These are proper professionals that are playing at a high level over in Europe. So I thought it'd be difficult for Mexico, but I thought in the end they would have the quality to overcome Jamaica.
Is there an expectation now from the Mexican public for Mexico to maybe even win every single remaining game in this and at least put on a massive show in their next hexagonal round game?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that's the thing with Mexico. There's quite a lot of similarities with England, where, you know, there's so much expectation and some of it, you know, often unrealistic. I mean, you know, Honduras away, the US have just gone there and lost. It's a tough game. It's a tough place to go. I mean, I don't know. A draw on paper would be a good result. But, you know, the expectation is that they'll go over to Honduras and win.
Now, we've also got the Mexican League up and running and firing underway. Firstly, we talked about this last time. The Copa Lib and León were in the kind of last qualifying round for the group stages of the Copa Libertadores. Didn't make it past Iquique. I think I'm saying that right. I apologise if I've butchered that name there, Tom. And it's been a poor start to their league campaign as well. Are you surprised by how León has struggled so far?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and this is a team, like people in the press, it was like almost like Premier League style in terms of the speed that they attacked at, and, you know, the fluidity within the team. I mean, they really were the best team last season to watch. Now this season they've started without a win. They brought in Rafa Márquez from New York. I mean, that was the big signing. They brought in Nery Castillo from Pachuca, but it's not happened this season. I think part of the reason is, you know, if you go on Twitter and all the social networks, I mean, I know Rafa Márquez isn't the most popular figure in the United States, but you know, and they're all blaming Rafa and blah, blah. I think for me, part of it is that I think teams have worked out how to play against León. And I think if you play León and you just, you can keep it really tight. Defensively, they are going to give you some chances, and I think that's what's happened. I think teams have worked out how to play against Leon.
Copa Lib does kick off this week with Toluca from Mexico playing against Boca Juniors. It's a very tough group for both Toluca and Tijuana. In Tijuana have got a very tough group as well in Group 5 of the Copa Lib. Who's most likely to get through this first stage, or are both teams expected to get through?
You know, I think Toluca are really struggling domestically at the minute. I think they're going to find it really hard to manage both tournaments. And I don't have too much hopes, to be really honest. I think last season he played absolutely out of the skin to reach the final of the tournament. But I think this time around they are going to struggle. I mean, it's a long trip down to Buenos Aires to play Boca, you know, the famous stadium down there. I think they're going to struggle. I've got a lot more hope for Tijuana. I think the style of play, the manager, Antonio Mohamed, is from Argentina. I think the style, the system they play is very much kind of a South American style. They're very, very solid. I think that they're a very difficult team to break down and really good on the counter-attack. And I think that, you know, I think it suits, you know, the Copa Libertadores. I think it suits playing South American sides. And I think they've got the experience and the kind of nous to do something good in the Copa Libertadores. And this is the biggest thing for a Mexican team. The coach and all the hierarchy at Tijuana are making the Copa Libertadores the priority. So they're going to rest people in the league games, which is usually the opposite of what Mexican teams do. It's a real, real breath of fresh air that a Mexican team's taking this competition seriously.
Why are they putting so much emphasis in the Copa Lib? Do they just understand the prestige that comes from doing well in that tournament? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tijuana, I mean, if you look at it geographically, I think it's like a 20-hour car journey to the nearest away game in Mexico. Geographically, it's isolated. They've only been in the league, I think, a year and a half. Already become champions. The mentality of the club, when you speak to the press people, you speak to the players, it's a kind of global mentality. It's definitely outside of Mexico. They're reaching out to supporters in Southern California. They really want to make an impact, you know, on the continental level. I mean, they really have got big goals, and I think that's one of the big reasons for that.
Is this what Mexican football needs right now? I mean, obviously, we're not saying it's in panic stations or anything after the draw against Jamaica, but the fact that Leon haven't made the group stages and Toluca are struggling in the Mexican League and aren't expected to do much in Copa Lib, Club Tijuana are kind of flying the flag for Mexican football right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, no Mexican team has ever won the Copa Libertadores. I mean, on paper, if you look at the quality of some of the teams that are in Mexico, you know, they should have won it by now. You know, obviously the traveling is so difficult when you go down to South America, and the Mexican League, the authorities, they don't help at all. They won't change games, for example, to give teams an extra day rest, or, you know, or move forward a game if they're traveling down south, you know, in the midweek. Whereas in South American leagues, they do that. They even sometimes, you know, give the team playing in Copa Libertadores a weekend off before a big game. I mean, the difference in kind of mentality is massive. You know, Tijuana, it'd be great as the champions, and they're playing well this season as well. It'd be great if they could actually do something good in the Copa Libertadores. And I really do think they can, at least on paper, but we'll see.
Tom, just quickly and finally then, on the domestic league itself, we've seen Tigres, Club America, Club Tijuana and Atlas up there in the top four spots, kind of what you were saying and expecting to see at this point in time. Who's impressed you the most, though, in the Mexican League so far? Where are the stories, the kind of surprises at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, Tigres in America have just been very, very good. I mean, you know, you can't really, it's difficult to separate from the top. They're definitely the favourites to win the tournament. Big surprise is Atlas. I mean, this is a team that just has so many problems. They've got over 100 directors, so making any kind of decision at that club is absolutely So basically, they've got Leandro Cufre. I don't know if you remember him from Roma.
Yeah,
he's basically kind of just seems like he's just taken over the dressing room and he's just said, right, I'm gonna set the standards here, and the team really rallied around. So Atlas have been a big surprise. Webler, they've had problems with their ownership. You know, the last season, the Mexican tax authorities were repossessing the team bus and stuff, and the offices. They've had big problems, but you know they've really got it together under Manuel Lapuente this time round. So definitely another a team that has stuck out. There's been a surprise.
And Tom, we've got the Mexican soccer show coming up on World Football Day. I think Rafa said he's bringing the new episode out for you, putting it up on the site today. What are we in store for the show this week, mate?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot on that 0-0 draw against Jamaica. Like, a lot of talk about tactics and you know, what manager can do, how Mexico can move forward, which players, you know, shouldn't be in there anymore. And then we've got an analysis of it's a third of the way through the Liga MX season now, so we've got an analysis of each team. So yeah, it should be interesting.
It should be very interesting indeed. And those of you like myself that are still learning and using Tom's podcast as a way to learn about Mexican soccer more and more, definitely can recommend it to you. Tom, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, mate. We look forward to the new episode going up on the site. We look forward to getting you back on as soon as possible to chat maybe a little bit Copa Lib once the first round of games are done.
Thanks a lot, Oliver. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure as always there. Tom Marshall from the Mexican Soccer Show here on WorldFootballDaily.com joining us today to talk all things Mexican football. That poor start to the hexagonal round with the draw against Jamaica at home. I think that's the big thing that's really caught everybody off guard, the fact that it was in the Azteca, you know, the high altitude and the home field advantage in terms of, you know, as you say, 110,000 fans, you know, blaring out in front of you. And they still weren't able to get it done against a side that everybody was expecting them to cruise right past. And of course, the Mexican League up and running as well, with six games into Liga. First division in Mexico. Division? I said that in a French accent. That's the wrong one to do. The first division in Mexico, with Tigres topping it on 16 points. Club America on 15 points. Club Tijuana on 13, alongside Atlas as well. And the Copa Lib kicking off, as I say, with Boca Juniors.
I'm really, really hoping that Eric Gomez, also of the Mexican Soccer Show, hooks it up and gets us into the Cholos playing, I think, against Corinthians Copa Lib. That should be wicked, dude. Absolutely wicked if that goes down. So I'm really looking forward to that, man. If that happens, we will definitely be bringing you premium content for our members only, and wicked, man. Cannot wait. The Cholos, man. I'm jumping on that bandwagon big time.
Club Tijuana, man. You're gonna have to wait for the Corinthians game, mate. You got till March the 6th for that one to come your way. They kick off Tijuana, their Copa Lib against Millonarios, the Colombian side, on the 19th away from home, before then coming on the 26th of February back to Tijuana to take on San Jose, but not the San Jose as in the earthquakes. San Jose from Bolivia and Copa Libertadores action. And then, of course, on March the 6th, they'll be taking on Corinthians at home in Tijuana. Raf, if you get down to that, man, I'm going to be pretty envious of you. Even more envious of you if you manage to wangle a flight down to Brazil to see the return game as well. Oh, no. I think that'd be pretty freaking sweet, man.
If I did that, yeah, then you should be asking questions, maybe perhaps asking for a paid internship.
I believe so. And I think also the wife might be kicking you out as well if you started gallivanting down to Brazil every other week to watch Corinthians and Club Tijuana in the Copa Lib, that's for sure. We're going to take a very quick break as we get ready for the Copa Libertadores to kick off this week. Champions League football as well coming tonight. Raf, I'm so excited. I can't wait. We're going to have to take a quick break so I can calm down, and we'll come back with the final bits of the show today here on Tuesday's edition of World Football Daily.